The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Somebody asked me to talk about fear today. And I think fear is something that all of us can relate to one way and another. And it's also Kishtigarbha's festival day, which is perfect because he is the bodhisattva who helps those who are vulnerable. Women, children, women giving birth, animals, travelers, anybody who is vulnerable, calls upon Kishtigarbha bodhisattva for help, or he will help them. And on the altar is my favorite image of him. I made a special request that we have this picture of him on the altar looking down into hell. Because there he is sitting there. He's not jumping in and swimming about with the beings in the same way. He's sitting there in hell but looking down from a position of stillness and helping beings. They can see him and ask him for help. But he is not in their suffering with them in that sense. He is there as an anchor or as a guide, a light to shine and help them. There is a clue here. Hells. In Buddhism, we have 16 of them. There are 8 hot hells and 8 cold hells. And I was thinking about them this morning. They're not permanent places that you're stuck in forever. You don't go to hell and stay there forever and ever. It's a temporary place. You can see them as a place where someone might end up after their life in this body, but not forever, because people move on. Beings move on, expiate their karma, and are helped out of hell. That litany we sang this morning, it's all about Kishtigarbha, helping beings stay out of hell, and once they're in there, helping them get out of it. But the hells can also be seen as states of mind. Hot hells, hatred, anger, jealousy, hot. That's a hot hell. If ever there was one, is jealousy. Cold hells, despair, loneliness, fear. There's a sort of chilling quality about some of these states of mind. And you can think of all sorts of other ones. And we go in and out of these sometimes. Sometimes we're in despair, sometimes we're angry, sometimes we want something, sometimes we're lonely, in and out of these states of mind. None of them is permanent. And Kishtigarbha sits there with compassion, deep compassion, seeing all these states of beings. And it's the deep compassion that's really helpful for us to bear in mind as we see our own states of mind. To see them with compassion, acceptance, no judgment. Kishtigarbha is said to have made a great vow to help all beings in all the hells, as we read about today. Shakyamuni Buddha says to Kishtigarbha, asks him, you see, you know, says, please save all the beings. This is a huge request. Kishtigarbha, please help all these beings in the hells, help them to stay out of hell, and once they're in there, help them to get out of it. Kishtigarbha right away says, yes. He doesn't say, well, let me think about that. Right away, I'll do it. You know, honors of the world, please don't be worried. I love that. Please don't be worried. I'll take care of these beings. Really lovely. Steps right up. And some of the invocations we sang today, those last two, they're from the point of view of children, because the ceremony used to involve, when we had a lot of kids at the Dell School, we had children helping as chaplains and helping with the offertory we do, the offering we do around the altar. We'd have all these kids helping out with it. Kids are all grown up now, having children of their own. But we still have these invocations, these little hymns that Reverend Master Jiyu wrote. Really simple things that actually apply to us too. And a lot of them are about fear of storms, thunderstorms, fear of being bullied, fear of the dark, fear of dying, even for children. And all of these little fears, we have them too. It's not just for kids. And there's something so sweet about these little prayers for help in the midst of fear. So it's something that we can relate to as well. Although you may think we're all grown up now, we still have our own fears. Everybody has fear, no matter who we are. It's hardwired into us because we're animals. We're human animals. Animals have fear. We have fear. It's a survival thing. We're afraid of starving to death, afraid of the cold, afraid of something bigger than me eating me, you know. People out in the jungles, you know, monks meditating in the Thai forest would hear tigers roaring. And a monk who had done this said to me, when you hear a tiger roaring in the jungle and you're out there on your own, there's a visceral fear, absolutely hardwired in, visceral response. And it's not a problem that the fear arises. It's what we do with it. It's not that I shouldn't be afraid of this tiger. It's just to sit still with the fear and go beyond it. And with training, maybe one could see that the tiger is actually not good to eat us. It's just roaring, you know, just having a good time, roaring. I'm the king of the jungle, this is my spot, and stay away, other tigers. It's not, hopefully, creeping up on the monk about to chomp him. But it's a way of dealing with the fear. Sitting meditating in graveyards, another thing they do. We don't do that. But just a ways of sitting still with fear and however it manifests, because we all have fear. And as I said, it's not a problem that it arises, but it's what we do with it that can create problems. There's so many kinds of fear. Fear of harm to the body, the tiger fear, you know. I'm not top of the food chain here. And that, like fear of sharks. I mean, you know, anyone who saw Jaws, which I did not see, it's a completely hardwired fear of something eating me. Fear of pain. You know, pain can be intense and extremely strong, and you just want it gone, you know. Fear of pain is a big and quite understandable fear. Fear of illness. Fear of death, you know. Fear of insecurity, fear of the unknown, and then little fears, fear of looking foolish, fear of embarrassment, fear of being blamed or judged by other people, fear of abandonment, fear of losing the people we love or harm coming to them, and the nameless dread, we don't know what it is, but there's just fear, and we don't know why, but the thing that comes at 3 a.m. when you wake up sometimes and you think, what's that gray shadow, you know? Sometimes people are just paralyzed by fear, whether it's seemingly real or seemingly irrational. And it's a great suffering to be stuck with fear, not being able to move because of it. Because fear is nearly always worse than the thing we're afraid of, actually. If somebody feels they can't go outside their house because they're afraid, it seems irrational, but it's real to them. And it's a sorrow, it's a suffering. Or not having the courage to make some change in one's life that one knows one needs to make. Whether it's a change of career, I really, really want to do such and such, but I'm afraid to make that leap, you know. Fear of ending a relationship that's harmful because a person's afraid of being alone. It's a suffering. Fear of doing something that the heart longs to do and allowing the fear to stop one from doing that. It's a sadness. Often we're ashamed of being afraid. We feel we shouldn't be afraid. a soldier going into battle, I'm sure he doesn't let on to his friends he's afraid, but of course he's afraid. They're all afraid. No matter how courageous a person might be, fear is bound to arise if you're in danger of your life. But courage doesn't mean fear doesn't arise. It's what you do with it. Courage is to continue, if it's not a completely daft thing you're doing, to continue to do what you need to do in spite of the fear. That's the courage. It's not that fear doesn't come up. It's what we do with it. Not to be stuck, paralyzed. Pretending we're not afraid doesn't deal with it. I'm not scared. I'm fine. You know, it doesn't help. It just covers it over. Because the fear is still there. And the more we don't look at it, the bigger it seems to get. Because when we turn and look at it, it shrinks down to size. The seemingly foolish fears of heights or closed spaces or spiders or whatever. We may feel silly about that, but we're still afraid. The fear's still there. We still have to deal with it. And it's not foolish, it's just fear. Rev. Master Jiyu, as many of us know who knew her, she was a young person during World War II, and she was they were bombing. Planes were coming overhead and bombing. Some of her friends were killed. And forever after, she was afraid of thunder. So any time there was thunder, some of us would go and just sit with her. And she'd go to a corner of her house where she had a kind of back against the wall, you know, away from the windows, and would just sit still. She didn't hide under the table. She didn't get off base. She just sat still with the fear. And it never left her. With all her wisdom, in her old age even, that fear never left her. In fact, it got worse. And she did not feel ashamed of it. She just dealt with it. It was a real lesson for us. It was really helpful to see somebody with a seemingly irrational fear, although she didn't think fear of lightning and thunder was irrational at all, because people do get struck by lightning, but somebody seemingly over afraid of something, but not apologizing for it, not feeling that there's something wrong with them, just saying, this is what I have. I went through World War II, I have this, and it's not going away. And we would sit with her. It was really good for us to see this. We would try to be quiet, but we wouldn't be completely silent. We'd talk quietly, but we'd sit still. And this is such a lesson for anybody, any of us who may ever feel fear, and we all do, of course, to see that it's not something to be ashamed of or to be afraid of. To be afraid of one's fear is not necessary. Just, here it is, now we deal with it. We sit still with it in the midst of it. Really helpful. So how do we deal with it when fear arises? First, to recognize that we are afraid. Sometimes we don't realize it. We think it's something else. Fear is a slippery beast. Sometimes we distract ourselves thinking, I'm not afraid, I'm fine. I'll just go in and watch this movie, or I'll just go do this other thing. And actually, what would be better would be to sit and look at the thing that's making us uncomfortable. What is this, you know? To just look at it, to sit with it. When we're angry, usually we're really afraid. If we're attacked, we may respond with anger, but actually we're afraid, of course. But we feel anger. We don't recognize the fear underneath sometimes. Even just if it seems like a little criticism, you know, we get angry if we're criticized. We don't like it. It's fear. It doesn't feel like it, but it's fear. If it feels like righteous anger or anger on behalf of somebody else, it's still a fear. We're afraid that the bad guys will win, or that bad things will happen, or that unscrupulous people will be in control and harm other beings. It's a fear. desire, when we want something, there's a fear there. We're afraid we won't get it. And if we do get it, we're afraid we'll lose it. The more we have, the more we're afraid of losing stuff. When people try to amass huge amounts of money, it seems so odd. It's just fear, trying to make themselves safe. And it's bottomless. Because the fear is the problem. It's not having enough money or whatever. It's this bottomless fear. And sometimes people try to fill up that bottomless pit with money or friends or success or power, whatever it might be. It's all just fear. And that is why it's really good to recognize it, so that we don't do that, so we don't get blindly pulled along by it, but we actually recognize, oh, I'm afraid of insecurity, I'm afraid of not having enough, I'm afraid that my family will not have enough. And this is actually reasonable, you know. We can never make ourselves completely safe. So when fear arises, we try to be aware of it, to recognize it for what it is, so that we won't just blindly act on it and hurt other people. Because fear makes us selfish, you know. And so when we're afraid, just notice there's fear here. Or when we're angry, see the fear underneath. And then, well, why am I afraid? What am I afraid of? Am I afraid of being harmed? Am I afraid of what people will think of me? And why, you know? What is really underneath there? If I'm afraid of somebody else's anger, well, what's going to happen to me? If they get mad at me, are they going to kill me, you know? What's really at stake here? Are they going to hurt me or humiliate me, have some power over me? And when we look, sometimes it's just our pride that's at stake, or just, you know, wanting to look good in front of other people, or want to be embarrassed or whatever. Or our opinion about something being threatened. Maybe what I think is really good to do won't happen. And I get afraid that something bad will happen. And sometimes these fears are reasonable, and it's still fear. And we still need to deal with it, to sit still with it and not get pulled around. Not being in control can be very frightening to many people. If I'm in control, then things will go the way I think they should go. But of course, they never really do. If someone else is in control, they'll have power over me. And sometimes that can be really frightening to people. But why? Why should I be afraid of that? Because I don't trust that person. I think they will bully me, harm me. Maybe I'll feel belittled. Or I might be required to do something that I feel is wrong. You know, all these things can arise. And when we're afraid, it's really helpful to just look and see what's really going on here. Why am I afraid in this situation? What's the worst that could happen? And what is it that I'm afraid of? It's really helpful, because then it brings it down to size. It's not this huge shadow in the corner, but it smalls it down. We can see it more clearly for what it is. To investigate makes it all easier to deal with. Doesn't mean it goes away, but we can see what we're dealing with. And as I said, it's often slippery. We don't recognize it. We think it's something else. But when you think about it, fear is at the bottom of most of our suffering, one way and another. Any kind of conflict, there's fear there. When there's a war, people are scared to death of each other, you know. When you've had a war with a small country, people here have been afraid that this little country will invade us, which is a completely unrealistic fear. But there it is, you know. Disharmony in a family. because people are afraid of each other sometimes. Or they see somebody doing something that's harming them, and they're afraid of what will happen to them. It can come out of love for a being, but afraid for them. And that can create disharmony because we're trying to help, but not always skillfully. Or people are worried about money or worried about their kids. There's usually fear at the bottom of disharmony between people and within ourselves too. And we're worried, upset, angry, whatever. There's fear there. And if we can see that with kindness and compassion, not with judgment, it really helps us to deal with it, to bring it down to size and not be ruled by it. When it comes up, when we recognize fear, just to sit still with a kindly eye, to recognize fear, to see what we're afraid of, if we can see that. Sometimes we don't know. And to sit still right in the middle of it, not rushing around trying to fix things. That doesn't always help. If we're afraid, there's a good chance we won't do it wisely. But to sit still and look, not just rush off and do something. We can't make everything safe. We can't make life safe. Life is not safe. We're all vulnerable beings. There's no way around that. We are all prone to old age, sickness, and death. No two ways about it. No matter what we may do to preserve our health, we can still get sick. If we're lucky, we'll get old and die. It's okay. It sounds depressing, but it's true. And if we look at it and simply accept it, it helps immeasurably to just accept the fact that all beings will eventually die. We will die. If we're lucky, as I said, we'll get old. Good chance we'll get sick. Whether we're young or old, we get sick and we get better and we get sick and so on. To accept it with kindness and look at it clearly. If that's what we're afraid of, to look it right in the eye and not to hide away, well, I'll just keep running every day and do all this and do all that and do this other stuff. It may be fine, but look at what we're doing, you know. Is this actually wise? Is it good? Am I just exhausting myself, running away from my fear? Or am I actually doing something that's sensible? You know, what am I doing? Physical pain, when it arises, you just want to get away. You want it to stop. But if we can sit still, right in the midst of it, when pain arises, it helps us immeasurably. We try to take care with it. We may take aspirin or medication or whatever it might be to do something about the cause of it. But still, to sit still, right in the midst of it, physical pain, mental, spiritual pain. Sitting still with pain can be really hard. It's so easy to get pulled around by it, trying to push it away. But we can keep working on it and do our best with it. Many years ago, somebody said to me, pain is a great teacher. And I never forgot that. He'd been in a bad car accident, quite a young man. And he said, pain is a great teacher. He was grateful, actually. And I've heard this many times since. Illness can be a great teacher if we let it teach us and we accept it and look it in the eye, sit still with it. We still try to do something about it, cure it if we can, treat it, but to accept it. Here is sickness. Here is pain. Okay, now what do I do? And to accept it wholeheartedly and learn from it, to learn patience, to learn kindness, because when we have suffering and pain, we know what it's like, and we're less likely to inflict them on other people. It can make us kinder, softer, nicer, more patient. If we're running around healthy and happy, or, you know, just rushing around blindly all our life, we're less likely to stop and see what's really important. to stop trying to deny it or kick against it, but just to accept it is an enormous help. The nameless dread. Sometimes we're just afraid and we just don't know why. But we can still sit still in the midst of it and look at it with a mind of inquiry. What's going on here? Why am I afraid? We may not get an answer for some time. We may not get an answer at all, but we can still sit right in the midst of it. We don't need to be afraid because we're afraid. Here's the dread, there must be something really bad about to happen. Be afraid of the fear. I think all of us have nameless dread sometimes, but we don't have to be afraid because we're afraid. There must be something awful about to happen. It just comes and goes. We are these vulnerable little creatures on this little planet flying through space. Why wouldn't we have fear come up? But to sit there and to allow the fear to be there in the body, to feel it in the body, but not feed it with the mind. What's going to happen? You know, all the things could go wrong. All the things I can worry about, the million things I can worry about. And I'm not worried, I should be worried. And so I'm worried about not worrying. Or if I am worrying, I'm worrying about worrying. It's endless. But if you can just relinquish a little, to sit still and allow it to be there in the body, that knotting in the guts or the shortening of the breath or however it manifests for us, to allow it to be there in the body and not think it's a problem and not feed it with the mind, you know, oh, there's this, it might happen, and so forth. Not to judge, not thinking, I shouldn't be afraid, this is silly, but just to sit still, accept it there in the body. And it's the same with anything. Anger, desire, grief, jealousy. To sit still, allow it to be there in the body, but not feed it with the mind. To look at it, see it, accept it, and have as much compassion as we can for it. And when we think about it, fear is almost always about something that might happen in the future. Usually, we're not about to be killed by an animal. Usually it's something that might happen. At this moment, we're not in extreme danger. So nearly always our fear is about something that might happen in the future. But the future doesn't exist. All we have is this moment. And if the thing does happen, then we'll just do our best with it. Whatever happens, we just do our best with it. Fear or no fear, we just deal with it. But for now, when fear arises, we can sit still, look at it, and remember, this is just something that my mind has created. Maybe the awful thing won't happen. Ramasuji used to walk around and sometimes would say, cheer up, it might never happen. You know, with somebody looking completely miserable, fearful, and, you know, bereft. In fact, when things do happen, they're almost always different from what we expect. We expect the dreadful thing to happen, it turns out quite differently, and if it does happen, it has a different flavor from what we expect because we just deal with it. Here is the awful thing that I dreaded all this time. Okay, here it comes. Now what do we do? It's more immediate then, and we just deal with it. And we can trust that we can do that, that we will be able to deal with things as they arise. We don't have to live in dread of what might happen. We can sit still now, do our best. If we're afraid of illness, well, if we get sick, we just deal with it. It may not be so bad. It can teach us. We may be afraid of losing all our money. Maybe we will. And if we do, we just do our best, we'll manage somehow. There's a good chance we won't starve to death. And if we do, well, we do. But anyway, there's no sense worrying about that today. Fear is nearly always worse than the reality. Always worse, actually, I think. Sometimes the worst things that happen are not at all the things that you expect. You know, who would have expected an aeroplane to come charging into somebody's office at the Twin Towers? They were just doing their going about their business, probably worried about all kinds of other things. This thing happens, the worst thing you could imagine. They hadn't expected that, so why worry? You know. And still, we just deal with whatever comes to us. And we can trust that we can do that, that we will have the strength to do that, and we will have help. Other people are afraid too. We can remember this. If I'm afraid of somebody else, they may be afraid of me. It's not just us. And we can have compassion for somebody. Somebody's angry with me. Maybe they're afraid. And I can have a little compassion. And then I'm not so afraid. It kind of defuses the thing. If someone's misusing power to grab money from other people, they're afraid. They shouldn't be doing it. But we can soften our judgment, not say, look at that awful, greedy person grabbing money and doing all this awful stuff. You think, how could people do these things? They're just afraid. And if you can see that, you can have a little compassion. I think people who are the greediest for money, power, and so forth are the most fearful. Yes, it is selfish. And yet, you could, something in us can understand that. I know what it's like to be afraid. You know, everybody wants to be safe. And some people go way over the top. But we can understand it. It's not completely alien. We can understand other beings because they're just like us. They're not the different bad people and we're the nice good people, or vice versa. We're the bad people and they're the good people. We're all pretty much the same. We all have the same kind of stuff. It just manifests in different ways. We can have compassion and understanding when you remember that other people are afraid too. The other people in a war, they're afraid of us, just like we're afraid of them, and they're people with families, and, you know, children, just like us. They're not aliens. Fear makes people selfish. And that is why we try to sit still with our fear, so we won't just be selfish and try to amass things to make us feel safe or grab things. Not to let it rule our actions. Because through fear, most problems arise. There are antidotes to fear. Apart from sitting still, generosity is a great antidote to fear. If we're afraid of not having enough money or of losing something, if we give something away, it doesn't have to be a lot, just to make an offering, is a huge antidote to that fear, because fear makes us selfish. And then if we can reach out of that and give something, it really helps with that fear. We're kind of counteracting it, saying no to it. It's like a prison of fear and selfishness, and we're breaking out by giving something. Kindness is the same. Kindness to other beings really helps us with that selfishness that comes with fear. If we're afraid, practice kindness. Practice generosity is always good to do, and it's a great help when we're afraid. If we're afraid of somebody, we can be kind to them. And then we're less afraid of them. And we can defuse a difficulty which is simply kind. Not a forced kindness, but sometimes it has to be. Sometimes better forced kindness than meanness. But being kind helps us to feel kindness, because when we practice compassion, we feel compassion. When we practice generosity, we feel generosity. Sometimes we have to do the deed before we feel that. But it's okay just to make an offering to somebody, just to practice kindness to somebody, helps us to break out of that prison of fear, as it were. It makes us feel cut off, because fear has a very isolating quality. Here I am all alone against the world. It's very constricting. And to break out by making an offering helps immeasurably. Of course, the greatest antidote to fear is faith, in trusting ourselves to that which is greater than us, allowing it to help us and sustain us. We cannot do it all by ourselves, no matter how we struggle, no matter what we do, no matter how much we may accumulate or how we may try to protect ourselves. We're not safe. We're not in charge. We're not in control of almost anything. And that which is greater than we are, whether you want to call it Buddha nature, the unborn, the eternal, God, whatever it is that's bigger than us, sustains us and supports us despite our best efforts. And we can entrust ourselves to it and allow it to help us. And that is the greatest antidote to fear, because we can all relate to this. We all know, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Everybody knows that there is something bigger than me. I am not in charge, actually. Life is outside our control. There is something from which we come and to which we return. Whatever you want to call it. And this is why we don't actually have to be afraid of dying, because we come from the source of great compassion and we return to that. There's nowhere else to go, you know. Where else do we go? We come from that, we return to it. There is actually nothing to be afraid of. All we need to do is do our best in this lifetime with what we have now, to do our very best with the life that we have. This very moment that we have nothing else, to practice kindness, to practice courage, with faith and with joy. There's Kishtigarbha making his offerings, the epitome of kindness, sitting in above the flames of hell. He's there, he's in hell, it's dark, and yet he's sitting still, right in the midst of it, looking with deep compassion on the beings. And we can do that with our own beings and with other beings, looking with deep compassion, not because we're better than them or we're somehow superior, but because we're actually all the same. We're not different, we're not separate. We're all part of the same fabric. There's no separation. And the fear makes us think we're separate. But when fear arises, we can just do our best to sit still right in the midst of it and allow it to dissolve right before our very eyes, because eventually it always does. There's an interesting aspect of fear. We look at right in the eye, and it dissolves. And even if things happen to us that we would not wish, we will have the strength to deal with them. Sit still, practice acceptance, courage, kindness, with faith. And that's our talk for today.